This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
The LA County District Attorney is recommending that the Menendez brothers be immediately eligible for parole. Pete Demetrio reports.
With members of the Menendez family standing nearby, DA George Gascon said evaluation of the evidence indicated both brothers suffered years of abuse prior to the murder of their parents, and an evaluation of their conduct and efforts toward rehabilitation in prison warranted resentencing, vacating a life without parole term to two 25-year-to-life sentences for two murders. And that since the brothers have already done 35 years in prison, they would be eligible for parole almost immediately. The DA made it clear the decision to call for resentencing was not an acceptance of a reason for or justification for the killings.
There is no excuse for murder, and I will never imply that what we're doing here is to excuse that behavior, because even if you get abused, the right path is to call the police, seek help. But I understand also how sometimes people get desperate.
After the paperwork is filed with a judge requesting resentencing, the DA's people and the brothers' defense team are anticipating a hearing date will come perhaps by early December. Even after that hearing, the judge may take the case under advisement for some time before ruling on what, if any, resentencing should occur. At the Hall of Justice, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Lawyer Mark Garagos represents the Menendez brothers. He reacted to today's announcement. Natalie Tavidian reports.
Attorney Mark Garagos says while it's up to a judge to decide the fate of the Menendez brothers, he says this is what the family wants.
All of these family members who are behind me will be heard. All of these family members will uniformly ask one thing, which is bring them home. Enough is enough. That's uniform. This is the family that knows them. It's the family that believes 35 years is enough.
Garagos says as of 2005, the brothers had no hope and had resigned themselves to living the rest of their lives behind bars.
In their C files, which is what the DA has been waiting for and what they reviewed today and why they recommended resentencing, in their C files were letters by high-ranking correctional officers, something I've never seen in 40 years, who said, I would not only recommend that Lyle or Eric be resentenced, I would also welcome them as a neighbor in my neighborhood. I've never seen that before.
He says it speaks volumes to the idea of redemption.
Nima Rahmani is an attorney and a former federal prosecutor. Charles Feldman and I asked him earlier today if Gascon's doing the right thing before the election, if he's doing this for political gain.
Oh, it absolutely helps him, and is probably the reason he's doing it. Again, it reeks of politics, but, you know, it's just the political reality of the world that we live in. He's doing this for political reasons right before an election. If it's something he truly cared about, why didn't he do it a year ago?
You appear to be suggesting that a politician would do something for political reasons, and I don't know if I can stomach that, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Before this resentencing, I thought there was a real possibility that Gavin Newsom steps in and he commutes their sentence or pardons them. I mean, that's how popular the Menendez brothers are right now. I mean, it's just if you have folks that are listening right now, I'm telling you, the vast majority of them agree that they should be released.
Would that have been a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a cleaner way to deal with this, to have the governor do that? Although I can think of many political reasons why he both would or wouldn't want to.
I think so. I think that would be, within the confines of the law, the right way to handle it. Because obviously they're murderers. They don't have a self-defense argument. But, you know, if they were indeed abused by their parents, and obviously a lot has changed with sex abuse over the decades that since this happened. There's a lot more awareness. I mean, at the time, the brothers, there was a possibility that they would be executed, right? This was a death penalty case, let's not forget. So obviously, you know, the case would have been handled very differently. Right now, I think they would have gotten an offer, whether it was a manslaughter or a 25 to life offer, if this murder happened today.
Criminal defense attorney Lauren Johnson Norris says she agrees with Gascon on this case. She also adds that true crime documentaries like the one that led to Gascon's decision can be useful in the future.
You're going to have differently informed jurors sitting on these cases. So the population of jurors tend to skew older. They tend to be more retired people, people who are able to take off of work. If they do work, they continue to get paid and serve on these juries. And they tend to come from certain positions of privilege in life. So to be able to take off that time away from work. But as we see, even that population, as well as the general population, become more educated about child sexual abuse, the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder, through documentaries, through their news feeds on social media. We're going to have jurors who have a wider perspective of the psychological research and the effects that it can have on individuals.
Johnson Norris says sexual abuse can play a major role in a defense case. She says had jurors at the time heard this new evidence, it might have changed the outcome. Game one of the World Series at Dodger Stadium, just one of six major events happening in L.A. and Inglewood tomorrow. Can the city handle the traffic? Craig Figner has more from the KNX News City Hall Bureau.
It could be chaotic. This crush of sports and music fans jamming into SoCal, Los Angeles, and Inglewood. This happens during a few hours tomorrow evening. The number of people so large that L.A. is activating its emergency operations center, and as a precaution, pre-deploying extra cops and firefighters. They'll be around Dodger Stadium, Crypto Arena, the Coliseum. Of course, Game 1 of the World Series begins at Dodger Stadium at 5, and then after that, there are concerts and other sporting events in Inglewood. Los Angeles will be on high alert as far as first responders go.
Tomorrow, the Dodgers will take the field for Game 1, and the city will be ready to take action as well. After the Dodgers beat the Mets, and I was there, I directed city apartments to take action to prepare. To ensure Angelenos are safe, traffic is addressed swiftly, and to make sure that Angelenos who might not be able to go to the actual games will still get to safely experience the World Series at watch parties around the city.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, she says if you're around Los Angeles, you see extra police, it's all part of the plan. And here is a question. How well will Los Angeles manage this crush of events in just a few hours' time? We have a poll on our KNX News Instagram story page. Tell us, how bad do you think it will be? At L.A. City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Seeing lots of Dodger blue all over L.A. as the team gets ready for the World Series tomorrow night against the New York Yankees. They haven't faced each other in the series since 1981. Even Pink's hot dogs is covered in Dodger blue. John Baird talked to co-owner Richard Pink.
And so tell me something. The place looks great, but somebody, you had to come out and do the painting. When'd you do this?
We turned Pink's blue, Dodger blue. We painted the front, we painted the floors, we painted everything to recognize that the Dodgers made it to the World Series. We are so proud to support the Dodgers. And we also created a Blues Dog, which is a hot dog topped with mustard, onions, chili, cheese, tomatoes. And we're selling that Blues Dog for $7.17. And all the profits are going to the Los Angeles Dodgers Foundation with a minimum contribution of $2,500. And that dog is selling for $7.17 because the seven represents the number of times the Dodgers have won the World Series. And the 17 represents Ohtani's uniform number.
Yeah, that would be Shohei Ohtani. Pink also says they have a shrine to the late Dodgers great Fernando Valenzuela right there in the dining room. McDonald's says that the E. coli outbreak that hit the chain recently can be traced back to onions from a California-based produce company. Officials with the company say that Taylor Farms in Salinas sent the onions to a distribution facility. It's assumed to be in Colorado. McDonald's has since pulled quarter pounders from the menu in several states. Other fast food restaurants are pulling onions from their menus, including Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, KFC, and Burger King. 49 people in 10 states have gotten sick. One person's died. A man suspected of trying to kidnap an 11-year-old girl has been arrested. The LAPD says they think the man from Hawthorne is the guy who tried to grab the girl Monday afternoon near M Street and Gulf Avenue in Wilmington. Harbor area detectives executed a search warrant at the man's home yesterday, took him into custody. He's been booked on suspicion of aggravated kidnapping. He's being held on $1 million bail. Orange County prosecutors have charged the man with killing his girlfriend and stuffing her body into a garbage can in Costa Mesa. Daniel Aldrich is accused of murder with a sentencing enhancement for using a knife. The woman's body was found Tuesday in the backyard of a home on Maple Avenue. Police say she was killed on Sunday. Aldrich didn't enter a plea. He's going to be back in court next month. Two men entered plea deals for selling illegal guns on Instagram, including dozens of ghost guns and Glock switches that convert weapons into machine guns. A man from Whittier admitted to dealing firearms without a license and robbery. Azusa man pleaded guilty to firearms trafficking. Prosecutors accused them of working with two other men from Nevada who have also been charged in the case. Now, some of the new evidence that led to today's news about the Menendez brothers came from a documentary on Peacock. We're going to speak live to a journalist who was an executive producer of that documentary. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. As you heard it live here on KNX this afternoon, LADA George Gascon recommending to a Superior Court judge that Lyle and Eric Menendez, the two brothers found guilty of murdering their parents in 1989, be resentenced. Now, if the judge agrees, the sentence would change from life without the possibility of parole to 50 years to life. And that would clear the way for the brothers to be released from prison after serving almost 35 years behind bars. And Nathan Hochman is a candidate for L.A. County District Attorney running against Gascon. Our chief news correspondent Charles Feldman talked to him and asked him if he thinks Gascon is making the right decision.
See, in order to answer that question, Charles, I would have to have access to the confidential thousands of pages of prison files. I would have had to have reviewed the trial transcripts, spoken to the prosecutors, spoken to defense attorneys, met with and spoken to the experts, and reviewed all the evidence. So I'm not in a position right now, since I don't have that access or haven't done that thorough review, to answer whether or not this particular resentencing request was appropriate. What I can absolutely say is that the habeas petition came in May of 2023. The resentencing request came in February 2024. So that's somewhere between, 10 to 16 months ago. And George Gascon at any point could have said back in 2023 or early 2024, we're going to go forward with a resentencing motion. But he has kept the Menendezes in prison from having that resentencing motion heard an additional 8 to 16 months if he truly believed that it was appropriate. Instead, he waits 12 days before the November 5th election, October 24th, to announce it. He also could have announced it, by the way, on November 6th, November 7th, November 8th. There is no time deadline on his resentencing request other than George Gascon using it because he's in a desperate situation, 30 points down in the polls, and he thinks that he can divert voters' attentions away from his public safety record of failure onto this made-for-TV decision that he announced today.
Okay. Is there any possibility that this case, the Menendez case, could somehow run into a period where if you win the contest against George Gascon, you would become the DA? Is there any possibility that would happen?
I mean, I don't know the ultimate timing of when the resentencing motion will be held, heard by the court and when the court would ultimately make its ruling. So I guess there is that possibility, Charles.
And if that happens, what would you end up doing? Would you have to restart this all from scratch, the entire process?
Charles, I'll say it now for the third time. What I would do is the same methodology I would treat every case, whether it's a case with high media attention or no media attention. You have to be thorough. You have to go through every single fact in the case. You need to apply all the relevant law, and you've got to talk to all the relevant people and look at all the exhibits and evidence in order to make the most informed, fair, and impartial decision. That's exactly what I would do if I become district attorney.
Well, the brother of Lyle and Eric Menendez's mother says Gascon's decision today was purely political. Karen Adams reports.
The attorney representing Milton Anderson says her client feels both Lyle and Eric should remain behind bars for the rest of their lives. And Gascon, having said he made the decision an hour before his announcement, was not motivated by justice in the case.
A decision as serious as this should never be made sort of on the fly. You should have a resounding feeling that this is the right thing to do before you make any kind of a decision. And so what appears to have been his motivating factor
is the upcoming election, which of course is less than 2 weeks away.
Attorney Kathy Cady also calls Gascon's decision misguided and naive if he based it on the new evidence presented in the defense's legal petition last year challenging the Menendez brothers' sentences. It's a letter Eric wrote to his cousin in which he purportedly talks about the sexual abuse he suffered by his father.
Both Andy and Eric testified at the trial, and neither one of them mentioned anything about the letter, which is somewhat suspicious, right? If they knew about this letter that one of them had written together, you would think they would have mentioned it, but that didn't occur.
She says Kitty Menendez's brother hopes the judge tosses the resentencing recommendation. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
And with us now is Emmy-winning journalist Robert Rann. He's been covering the Menendez brothers for over three decades. Also, the co-executive producer of the documentary series Menendez and Menudo Boys Betrayed came out on Peacock last year, likely helped get the ball rolling for Gascon's decision today because it presented some new evidence of the brothers being abused at the hands of their father. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you've heard some of the pushback that some people are raising, saying that they don't really believe the story of sexual abuse in the first place. They don't believe the story of this new letter that they say is new evidence. Do you have a response to that?
Yes, I do. First off, I've covered the Menendez case for 35 years, since the morning after the killing of Jose and Kitty Menendez. And I believe Eric and Lyle Menendez, not just because of their testimony, but I had the luxury as a book author of spending so much time talking to Mark Scano, Jose's sister, Joan Vanderholm, Kitty's sister, and other family members over the years. And I believe that this was a highly dysfunctional family that was spinning out of control behind the gates of that Beverly Hills mansion. But because they lived in a mansion in Beverly Hills, and from the outside, the family looked perfect, everybody thought they were the perfect family. They weren't.
What do you think is the reason that the story about the sexual abuse just didn't take hold back then? Was it a matter of the times they were in versus the times that we're in today?
The real problem was that Eric and Lyle Menendez were arrested in March of 1990. The first trial started in July of 93 because there were legal issues that went all the way to the California Supreme Court. And so during those 3.5 years, the only story the public heard was about a pair of greedy rich kids that killed Ozzie and Harriet on Sunday night in Beverly Hills. The defense only went public 2 weeks before the first trial, and they told the story of the brothers had been abused over a period of years. And the reaction of the general public was, why have we never heard this story before? And so in hindsight, that may have been a tactical error by the defense, but that's what happened back in 1993.
All right. You were at the news conference today. What are your thoughts on George Gascon's decision to ask a judge for resentencing? And do you think it was too long in coming?
I am very excited that this day has finally arrived. I've been working on this case for three decades, and I've wanted to see this happen. I believe there was a miscarriage of justice in their trial. The correct verdict should have been manslaughter, not murder. They still would have gone to prison for 22 years. Now they've been incarcerated for 34 years and 6 months. They have been rehabilitated. They are remarkable men compared to the 18, 21-year-old college kids I first met in October 1989. And they should be set free and allowed to go home to their wives and be reunited with their family.
Emmy-winning journalist Robert Rann, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's your Nonstop News at 5 for Thursday, October 24th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.